Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Audio Frontier.
Ladies and gentlemen, the following podcast is Wrestling Death and is scheduled for 1 hour. Maybe more. It has no real time limits making their way into your ears. First, from a place called Barniston, he is the Pyramid, Rob Florence.
It's going to be the funniest show ever because I'm all about the comedy and the money.
How much you can pay?
And his partner, Vader Tappender Stevenson.
From Mick Echo City to Beef Community Centre, I've got stories that are going to blow your mind.
Welcome to Wrestling Daft. It is 10:05 on a Friday night. I'm producer John. Rab is not here. We are live on Patreon to our Patreon subscribers on a Friday night. This could go any way. Sorry we're late with this week's episode. We do apologise. But there is good reason for this. Our friend, the legend that is the Stevenson Dream, Grado, is in Aberdeen.
God, I'm not a bag of shite in it. Look at that. Look at my eyes. Well, John, it's been a hectic week. I'm bust. I was at the football last night. Getting at 12:30. Was up again at 4 for the radio. And then I come back home, tried to get some sleep. I'd been drinking that much coffee, I couldn't sleep.
Oh,
and
no.
Then I done a wee thing for Go Radio at the back of Shree. And then made the 3.5-hour journey up to Aberdeen because I'm doing this Comic Con this weekend, which is quite exciting. So I've only just arrived at the hotel. So apologies, troops, if you were waiting on the podcast landing the date. It's just been a bit of a nightmare. Rab's Danny's orphans.
Yeah.
So, but listen, we're going to give this a bash. John has told me that we're trying to do this in an hour. I will see what happens. I've also managed to get a wee surprise guest. I've even told John. Somebody texts me out the blue when I was driving. And I said, do you fancy coming on the podcast for a wee 15 minutes? So hopefully you'll enjoy that. And I'm going to bury the dominoes in Perth.
The dominoes in Perth?
Absolutely. As you know, I've been gluten-free for 3 weeks. And
right,
I've,
yep.
John, I'm killing it. I'm killing it, mate.
Are you still doing it? You've been doing this. This is like the Undertaker's streak.
This is, mate. See, last night, I knew that I'll never, ever break the streak. I'll never, ever break the streak because was at the fat bar, had a couple of drinks, cider, because there's no wheat in cider, and see it
very
off,
good.
I was absolutely Hank Marvin at half time, right? Mm-hmm. And we get in, and you know, I'm like, end up, get some friends in high places. We had some free pies there to take, and I've never been so hungry, John, and I never took a pie.
Mate, that's a round of applause. Do you know what?
I'm good at three.
Give the 10-bell salute to that. The 10-bell. Let's hear the 10-bell salute right now for Grado being going three.
By the way, I was quick in telling. I told Rangers, I says, this is a disgrace. No gluten-free options. Disgrace. And I also met a lassie who was a fellow gluten-freer.
All right, a fellow gluten-free. This is like a new faction.
But she started eating the pie. I says, I thought you were gluten-free. She says, I am, but She says, pies aren't as bad. It's fine. You can go for it. When you go have a pie, and I still never done it. That was Willie Waddle's granddaughter that done that.
Willie Waddle's granddaughter, wow.
But anyway, this is Wrestling Daft. Enough about Rangers.
This is Wrestling Daft. Let's talk about wrestling, because I believe I can now say I'm a wrestler too, Grado, because we have not spoke since my wrestling match against the Lord Provost of Glasgow, Philip Bratt, in the ICW arena.
John, I watched the stream live. I had tears in my eyes. I was so proud of you.
Thank you.
And the two of you completely buried the wrestling business to the ground. You know, I'd ever imagine the Lord Provost selling was absolutely diabolical. You were all right, John.
Thank you.
But the Lord Provost, come on.
I tell you what, Grado. Like, obviously, we're working with, you know, maybe breaking a bit of kayfabe. We were working with Edge Esther on the match. He put the match together. I took a bump. I took a couple of bumps. I took a body slam from Jester. I tell you what, Grado, Jesus Christ, he getting thrown through those ropes. Woof!
Hey, John, see it, innit?
It's here.
I tell your pal that your pal was getting clotheslined that he was sitting in. He was lying in the ground, pissed. He's still.
the thing is,
until he was getting hit, he was going. he's laughing. But offer a good cause, John. Have you got the bug now?
Yeah, loved it. Absolutely loved it. And you know what I loved most? I loved being a heel. I loved being a heel. It was brilliant, brilliant fun. Loved absolutely peeling it up. And taking that bump. So Jester goes to me, right, do you think you could take a throw through the middle rope? And I said, I'll give it a shot. So on the rehearsal, right, all the wrestlers are standing around the ring. They're obviously putting the matches together and what have you. And I get thrown through this middle rope. Like, and I take it, like, I thought I'm taking this like a champ. Like, went through the middle rope, flew through it, bang, leg goes out, hits the barrier. Like, I'm selling. I thought I've fucking sold that as like a champ. Coach Tripp, aka Adam Shamer, goes, fucking didn't do that, son. You'll break your fucking ankle. he's fucking there.
He'll know about falling out the ring and breaking his ankle. We watched that video before on YouTube. What an ankle break he had, old Shamer boy, back in the day. So if there's anybody that's got advice for yourself when you're throwing yourself at the ring, it's old Shamer boy. Big
Adam was brilliant. Listen, shout out to all the guys in ICW, Davey, Adam, just everyone, all the guys backstage, Jason, absolutely brilliant. And shout out to Scott Reed, Mark, Thomas Kearns, they put everything together. We made thousands of pounds for cash for kids, so thank you very much for everyone that came along. Really appreciate that. And we'll wait and see if there's going to be a round two.
Get in there, mate. That's good. As you say, it's for charity, and it looked as if it was very well received, John. Get in there.
No, it was good. It was good, and you can see that on ICW YouTube if you missed it as well. Right, Greg, let's crack into the show. Before we crack into the show, obviously you're in Aberdeen for Comic-Con, right?
Aye.
You looking forward to it?
You know what? I actually got a wee bit emotional when I come in that hotel. Then I'll tell you why. Because I love an import. I love a yank.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I always get noised up for it. All the time about how much I'd love being on the same card as like the Americans. But I come in the hotel and I saw SoCal Val. Do you know SoCal Val?
Yes.
Right. Well, she was down in the lobby and I was a wee bit emotional seeing her. I thought, good, because I've been with her in America and we've done the World of Sport together and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Good to bump into her. She's brand new. Booker T was cutting about. I've not went up and said hello to him yet.
You've worked Booker T before?
Well, here's the deal. I don't know if surely he will remember, but I've probably told the story before, but we've done a thing in Cleveland. For AIW, he came out. Yeah. I've told this before. He didn't want to do any movie. He says, well, I don't want to do any moves. So I didn't like it.
I'll do the spinneroo and
then. I'll go in there and I cut the spinneroo. And I says, that's fine, sir. That's fine. He's in the ring and we have the spinneroo off. But I'm getting the crowd gone. They're getting right into it. We do the spinneroo. He shakes my hand. He pulls me in. I'll never forget the words. He pulls me in. He whispers in my lug,
you're taking the bookend.
I'm lying there like the Lord Provis, legs akimbo. So I'm sure I'll bump into him.
Well, listen, I want to test you out your knowledge of the Aberdeen Comic Con, but so I'm going to give you a couple of names, Grado. I'm going to see, obviously I'm a bit of a geek, bit of a nerd. I'm going to test your knowledge, see if you know who these people are. So we can obviously, you're going at this Comic Con. So
remember, I've never saw Star Trek, Star Wars. I've never watched whatever it is that's all the folk here.
Right.
No.
Right, but well, we need to call you up. We need to call you up. So I'm going to give you some names that are going to be appearing at Aberdeen Comic Con tomorrow, and you've just got to tell me what they're famous for, okay? Off the top of your head. So we'll go for first, Joey Kramer. Joey Kramer, what's
his name?
No. Joey Kramer. You're thinking of Kramer from Seinfeld.
I'm taking away Stab in the Dark. Start, he played... Let me guess, he played Chewbacca in the second Star Trek.
How to wind up our listeners. Joey Kramer is famous probably for Flight of the Navigator. Are you aware of Flight of the Navigator?
Funny enough, it's a big aviation geek. I've never actually watched that.
Right, okay. You'll enjoy that. You'll enjoy that. Flight of the Navigator, classic. You're probably a wee bit too young for Flight of the Navigator. Right, let's go to the next person you may bump into at Aberdeen Comic Con tomorrow. Mark Williams.
Now, I do know who this is because he's got a very recognisable face. I've seen him on a wiener things, and I saw that he had arrived a date, and I looked and I Googled and I thought, do you know what? I'm sure he was in the Fast Show.
He was in the Fast Show. Well done.
So I text Arabella Weir and I says, look, I'm spending... I might be spending a bit of time this weekend with Mark Williams. I says, what's he down? Is he brand new? And she says, he's sound, give my love. See, I love doing things like that. So I'll go up the other morning and go, all right, I'm an actor today.
Do that. Well, obviously...
I was asking for you.
Is that Comic Con more famously for being Ron Weasley's dad in the Harry Potter series?
There's a couple of folk in my family, a lot of... I've got nieces and nephews that love the old Harry Potter, so I'm going to try and get a couple of scribbles.
Yep, that's a good one. Right, okay, next one, Peter Weller. Peter Weller, who's Peter Weller to you?
Peter Weller, is he the main RoboCop? The guy.
Well done. Listen.
So this is a guy, this is the actual guy, the actual RoboCop.
This is your main boy. Also, if you want to fucking double down for Peter Weller, he was in Star Trek Into the Darkness. He was in Star Trek. So he's doubling up this weekend. He's doing RoboCop. He's doing Star Trek. He's doubling up this weekend, right?
Right. I'll need to mention that to him. Peter. What's his name? Peter what? Peter.
Peter Weller. Peter Weller.
RoboCop. Listen, if I can call Shellsuit Bob for the last 8 years, he's on screen, mate. I'm sure I can call Peter Weller RoboCop for 2 days.
All right, RoboCop. How you doing, pal?
RoboCop.
Fucking do it.
I'm playing big.
Right, a couple of obvious ones here. Warwick Davis.
Yes, the host of Tenable. And by the way, a major lookalike to Ricky Little.
Yeah, Warwick Davis, Ricky Little. Our both captain, if you don't want to say Football Daft, you won't be aware of the works of Ricky Little. Our both captain. Ricky Little. So yeah, it's nailed on that. Absolutely nailed on. Let's go for the next one at Aberdeen Comic Con. We'll go for Claudia Wells. Claudia Wells, do you know who that is?
Is that Jet's shoot name?
It's Jet's shoot name. I'm glad you mentioned Jet, because Jet from the Gladiators is Diane Udale, right? And she's at Comic Con. Please, Grado, listen, Jet was my first love, right?
I've all said the same.
See if you bump into Jet, could you please get a wee video for me?
Yeah, I will do. I'm kind of, I feel as if it's the kind of strawberry gladiators, isn't it? Wolf, I was wanting the wolf.
Oh, is the wolf still with us, isn't he?
He's the wolf is still with us, and to me, he's a draw. You can't book the gladiators without fucking booking wolf, man. You know, Hank?
I know, he is the man. Right, okay, final one for you, Grado.
On my first puzzle.
John Anderson. Final one, John Rhys-Williams. Do you know who John Rhys-Williams is? Welsh actor.
I know, the fuck, that name just reminded me of that big fucking, the big lanky guy. the Tories sitting at the lies in it.
No, it's not a Tory. It's not a Tory. Nah. Not a Tory. Right, Lord of the Rings. Lord of the Rings.
Nah, I mean, I've saw the first half hour of the first Lord of the Rings, and the last half hour of the third Lord of the
Indiana
Rings.
Jones.
Right, is that you see Indiana?
He's Indiana and he's Lord of the Rings.
Well, he's coming to this weekend.
He is, aye.
I must have been the shitey ones. The shitey Indiana Jones he's in, aye.
No, he's in the originals.
Aye, okay. Oh, well.
John Rhys Williams is Gimli in Lord of the Rings. He's the dwarf in Lord of the Rings. And he's Solomon in the Indiana Jones films as well.
It's a stat card,
and you are there. You are there. How much do you think
Indiana Jones is on, like, the Indiana Jones podcast asking questions about me?
It's like, who's Grado?
Test Drive. 8 episodes out of a study. He was rated 500 for the PWI results in 2015.
What? Listen, who are you most looking forward to meeting out of that lot? Robocop, man.
Aye, Robocop. Probably Robocop. I hope he's
got... How much are you charging, by the way?
I don't know. It's on the website. I couldn't tell you.
Robocop, 30 quid.
Aye, I think I'm off that. I don't know. You get paid. It's like a kind of set thing that you get. Well, I think it's that anyway. I've not actually. It was my agent that kind of dealt with off it. I think he's wife. You know the WWE guy we had.
Oh, yeah.
She kind of set this up with me. But I'm looking for. But obviously they're still Game Boys. As I said, I was just in there. The nerves sitting.
Sanjeev's there. Paul Riley's there.
And what do you call him? Bobby the barman. I've said to Gavin. I says, I hope you've got change with you this weekend, because a funny story, I don't know if I've said this before, but we were at a kind of awards night a couple of years ago, Bob the barman, and we had a wee room at Citizen M. They always offer if you want a night, and of course, anytime you get offered something like that, you take it anyway. And we were at the awards gig. I says, you got a room? He says, aye. I says, well, we go back in, we'll have a couple of drinks. So we went back, we had a couple of drinks, and we're sitting there, and I'm going, I'm starving, are you starving? He says, aye. I says, what's opened? I says, that chippy, the blue lagoon will be opened. So we says, right, when we'll get in. So we're walking in, and I'm going like that. I've got no money. And I've got to walk in the hotel, right? So I'm going, I hope he's got money to pay this supper or whatever we're getting. Little did I know that he was thinking the exact same thing.
Oh, shit, really?
He left his wallet as well. So we goes into Blue Lagoon, and I was like, Gavin, any chance you can tap me this supper? He says, you're kidding me on. He says, I was walking around thinking the same thing. So there's the two, he's in this Blue Lagoon, right? 25 pence, 26. There's a couple there. There's a 20. It was a little neck, man. It was a complete farce. So I said, we managed to kind of strike a wee deal, which is not our proudest moment, but I've made sure this weekend that we've got plenty of change on it to cover any sort of... was it having a catering aspect?
Listen, I want at the end of this weekend, I want pictures of you steaming with a selfie with Robocop. That is what I want from this weekend. Robocop and Jet for the Gladiators.
Well, I get a superstar guest on.
Oh, right, okay. We're going to superstar guest.
Like, you keep talking now and I get a superstar.
Right, okay, well, I'll go through.
I've got a former WWF superstar coming on as a...
Oh, my word. Well, listen, I'll rattle through what the guys are saying from last week. So let's get into what everyone's been saying from last week. We're talking about Dundee United. Obviously, we love football meets wrestling on Wrestling Daft. We talked about Grado privately about the Dundee United Tannoy announcer playing the Hardy Boys scene for the team run now.
Yeah, that's right, aye.
Yeah, well, he is basically saying that Bebby Signori is flagged this out, saying, with regards to Dundee United Tannoy guy playing the Hardy Boys, he's got previous in that. He plays Sexy Boy whenever Charlie Mulgrew scores, and he plays Real American whenever Ian Harkes scores. You need to get him on the show. Have a great weekend, all.
Harkes was Canadian. That's the kind of boy that looks like Ian Connell for Burniston, isn't
it? Aye, I thought Harkes was Canadian.
Ryan for Glow.
Aye, but so apparently he's American, so they play real American when he scores. Karate Warrior 2 is saying he wants to talk about the sad demise of Neighbours Grado, and he asked the question right here: is there enough time for a Grado wrestling run in on Neighbours?
I doubt it, man. Nah, as I say, big fan of Neighbours, met one of the guys for Neighbours in Salkitts years in, oh, here, I've got to email this guy, 2 seconds, John.
well, this is a surprise run that's going to happen.
I'm kind of paranoid. I've not told him there's folk going to be watching this. So I need to tell him. I think he's got potential to get himself
cancelled.
Right.
Let him know that there are several people now watching the podcast.
See if he takes a huff. That's funny.
Shout out to our patrons that are all watching. Bronze Cello, Dean Waterston, Graham, Johnny, Chris, Jack, Niall, Rico, GH, all watching the stream as we record this live on a Friday night. Karate Warrior 2 is talking about the sad demise of Neighbours. Neighbours has a rich wrestling history. Batista made a cameo in 2009. Do you remember that?
See, I didn't know that until they announced that Neighbours was ending. I couldn't have told you Batista was in Neighbours. Nah.
Yep. Do you know that the wrestling, obviously promoing at some sort of Australian show, a lot of the wrestlers did a version of the Neighbours theme tune?
WWE wrestlers?
Yes, indeed. Would you like...
In America?
I don't think they get in America, but obviously there's a couple of, at the time when they sang it, there was a couple of Australian superstars, Rhea Ripley still being in the WWE. Yeah. Would you like to hear the WWE superstars singing the Neighbours theme?
Yes, let's do it.
Neighbours!
Everybody needs good neighbours.
With a little understanding.
You can find the perfect blend.
Welcome to the podcast, Wrestling Dave. Welcome, Nick Dinsmore, Eugene. How you doing, Eugene?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Hear me? Clear.
Is this thing on?
Yes.
Is this thing on?
How are you, Nick?
Good, buddy. What's going on?
Listen, I get quite emotional when you text me the night because I've not spoke to you in a wee while, and we've had some good times over the years, haven't we? We've had some great times. Nick is an absolute gent. I've not seen him. When was the last time I ever saw you? 2000 and not, was it maybe one of the WrestleMania weekends or something like that?
Was it Orlando?
Must have been Orlando. You know, Nick basically saved my bacon on the first night I ever wrestled in TNA. I was hungover. And Nick came and picked me up. You remember that? And you sorted me right out.
Got to take care of you.
He took care of me. Really, really took care of me. Don't get me wrong. His missus spoiled one of the biggest potential greatest moments in my life up until that point. Stephanie.
Yeah, she got you, didn't she? Touché.
That was. You want to tell John what happened?
Well, we were at the Hogan's Beach Shop, where he's got all his merchandise there, right there on Clearwater Beach. And we went in earlier in the morning. I knew the guy that was working there, and he said, the Hulkster's going to be here later on today. So my wife, Stephanie, Grado, and I went to the beach. We played on the beach and had fun all day. We come back through. So let's stop by and just see. Let's just see. So I got a Jeep, two-door Jeep. Grado's in the back. My wife's sitting a shotgun. She says, well, just let me put a little bit of makeup on in case we have to take a picture. So she's and Grado's in the back seat like a dog trying to get out. He's like so excited. He's looking, he's scratching. Finally, you know, it took us about 5 minutes to get the makeup set. We get in the building. The guy goes, he just left 5 minutes ago. Grado's heart was broken. He's like devastated.
Nick, he has told this story so many times. Listen, we've heard this a good few times on Wrestling Daft. I'm glad you're on to clarify it, though. Fantastic.
Oh, man.
Nick, where do we find you just now?
Well, I'm in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, the best little city in America.
There you go. Damn right. And what's happened with Midwest All Pro? You had your wrestling company, your wrestling school, but am I right in saying that you've sold the company?
Yeah, I stepped away from, you know, coaching and promoting. I'm trying to write a book, a cookbook.
Right. Really?
A cookbook? Wow. No, right. Okay.
I want to write like a tutorial or textbook about if someone wants to become, you know, a top level professional wrestling star, what the things that they need to start doing and kind of a step-by-step, you know, train like this, eat like this, wrestle like this and kind of step their way to, if they ever had a tryout with one of the major companies, they would be best suited.
Well, you know the score, as I said, you came for OVW 20 years ago, you were top dog. I remember being a teenager and always reading the dirt sheets and reading about Nick Dinsmore and how he was a top guy. in OVW. You were, weren't you?
Yeah. I was from the Louisville, Kentucky area. I was a top guy, but then when Cornette started writing the TV, he wrote me as the top babyface, top heel, and the best angles. So I was well written for.
But you know what? It's funny you mentioned Jim Cornette, right? Because I listen to Cornette, and he's not a fan of the Eugene gimmick. Does that annoy you when you hear him talking about your decision to do the Eugene stuff? Does it annoy you?
No, I fully understand him. I mean, if it was 1975, I would have been going for the world title. But the times had changed, and wrestling Nick Densmore wasn't going to get very far. So right. I needed to have a character. So I just turned it up.
Yeah, did you have to get sold on the Eugene gimmick though, Nick? Or did you have to get sold on the Eugene gimmick when it was presented to you? Or you I'll do it. I'll take the ball and I'll run with it.
No, I pitched it to them.
Oh, really? Wow. Yeah. I didn't realize that.
One of the trainers was Hustler Rip Rogers, and his son, Marcus, has autism. So when he was really young, he could count in Korean and he could do all this computer stuff, but he wasn't really social when we got to school. So Rip gave me the idea of an idiot savant, Rain Man type character that can't put the square peg in the square hole. He can't tie his shoes, but the minute the bell rings, he can do stuff he's seen on TV. Knows all the history, like idiot savant for pro wrestling. And I pitched it to to some of the agents that came down, like Fit and Dean and Arn. I said, no, it's not going to work. Wrestling's gone beyond that. The writers came down to Louisville. I pitched it to them. They said, oh, Vince will never do that. I was sitting in a meeting with Vince McMahon, and he goes, I want to get back to character-based wrestling. And I just spit this idea out, and he goes, great, we'll start on Monday.
There you go.
So wow.
It was like a deal where, like, they were expecting me to fail, and they were just going to give me a chance just to say they did. And I made it work. I made it succeed.
You're right. I mean,
it was so over. I mean, it was so over.
It was great. I mean, John, the couple of things that pop into my mind, there we go. There
they are brilliant. I mean, that must give you such a buzz having those in your hand.
I get to play with myself all the time.
But John, you're right, because when I think back to the Eugene character, I think about The Rock returning, the stuff with Hogan, and then you've got to remember the match. Was it SummerSlam with Triple H?
Yep.
I remember watching that 3 a.m. in the morning, watching it on a dodgy illegal internet stream back in, what was that, 2005, 2006? I mean, was that meant to happen? Where are you meant to go and wrestle with the top guys? Do you know what I mean? Was that meant to happen?
No, you didn't just cut on, and it was just like, it was a new, fresh character that the writer, Brian Gerwig, could write for. So the minute it caught on, they just, foot on the pedal and just ran with Eugene. And I was writing the top storyline, writing the main event. I was in the one time when I was the GM, I think I was in 8 segments out of 13 on Raw.
There you go.
Wow. That's crazy. That's absolutely crazy. I mean, you look back on, your run with the guys you wrestled, Nick. You were in the ring with some of the greatest, man. It's incredible when you look back,
And by the way, and not only that, a lot of people forget that, or well, at least sometimes I do, is Nick, you were one of the first Performance Center trainees. You were the trainer. You were the guy there in Orlando, right?
Yeah, I got hired as a coach when they were still in Tampa for FCW, but by the time I came down and started coaching, they were at the Performance Center in Orlando. Mm-hmm. I was in the first group that went in the building.
What do you think about the evolution of NXT and stuff like that? Who are some of the guys that you knew back then when you were training them that they were going to be big?
In my class, Braun Strowman started in my class. Chad Gable started in my class. I work with a couple other guys. I work with Enzo, Out of Control. I work with like Sasha Banks and Charlotte also at times. But I had a lot of the people that were newer that are starting to develop now, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right, let's talk about one of my favourite ever matches. The night that me and you, Nick, we made Vince Russo cry.
No, we did.
This is an incredible story. Nick, I love it from your perspective. I've heard it from Grado's perspective about making Vince cry. Please tell us.
What was it that he said, though? What would he say?
He goes, bro, I had tears in my eyes, bro.
I loved it. It was great. I had tears in my eyes. We put four bum bags on top of the poles. Four poles, four bum bags, and there was a weapon in each one of the bum bags. And I know you can't say fanny pack, but Eugene kept saying fanny pack, so everybody would giggle.
Aye. It was brilliant, man. And I remember, was that the match as well? Because I remember fucking Eugene, he's gone like that. I'm gonna get you some colour, but I'm gonna give you colour the hard way. He's laughing, man. What do you mean? He says, well, there's a part in your eyebrow. He says, it just needs a wee bump on the eyebrow and blood will come streaming down. And I'm going, right, well, you know best. I trust you. Well, if he punched me once in that eyebrow, he fucking must have punched me about 45 times trying to get blood. I don't think I get one trickle of blood in my face. Bang, bang.
I should have used the headbutt. The headbutt works better.
You tried the headbutt first. And then you started giving me the chocolate noddies.
Yeah. I mean,
it was brilliant to get Russell, because Russell, I mean, no matter what you say about the guy, it's always good to hear his take. He's always good for money and listen to him, stuff like that. So for him to say stuff like that, it was brilliant. It was a great laugh. We had some good times, man.
I enjoyed it. It was a good trip, man. It was fun.
We need to get you back, man. We're a tag match with Rampage Brown, who is one of the most well-respected wrestlers in the UK. And I remember being in a tag match, and Nick would always come to me to ask like opinions, but sometimes Nick would ask in front of them. So say we're planning a match, he would come up and say to me in front of the guy, can he work? Can he work? Is he over? And I'm going, look at ask him yourself.
Absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Nick, so at the moment, you working independent stuff at the moment, or are you just concentrating on your book?
No, I'm still getting booked on the independent scene. Eugene's still out there touring.
So yeah.
Cole Cabana said it the best. You're like the honky tonk man. You know what I mean?
That's it, man.
It's like, you see, if you've got a gimmick like that, John, it'll never, ever, it's always going to be loved.
Yeah.
Somewhere. You know what I mean? It's always going to be part of the scene, part of wrestling history.
Absolutely.
Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Anyway, who's the biggest asshole in wrestling? Come on, geez.
I want to ask you more about, you know, obviously you've worked with Grado quite a bit, Nick. Why do you think... Like, Grado's a big complaint about his on this podcast has always been he's always booked in comedy matches, you know, comedy wrestlers against comedy wrestlers. So, you know, obviously when you were over in the UK, you worked with Grado because, you know, he generally viewed as kind of the comedian wrestler. I mean, you're obviously coaching NXT, what have you. Do you think that's the right way to go about, or would you like to see more that these kind of comic wrestlers, like I guess putting Eugene and Grado, the Grado characters into that, go up against the kind of the straighter guys?
The comedy is more difficult to do than fighting.
Yeah.
You know, if we can get somebody over, we can put them in an angle where they need to fight, and almost everybody should be able to do that. But to do the comedy, it takes a little bit of timing. They have to really like you. So... you really have to be able to do both. But if you take a guy and get him over as a comedy wrestler, Grado did it. He turned and he would have angle matches and physical matches and do all the big bumps and all the big cool moves.
I mean, how hard did you find it? Because you obviously went through that transition from, you know, Nick Dinsmore into the Eugene character. How hard was it to make that transition?
I ended up with some trunks that Conway had that were just a blank pair of trunks. And I had that jacket I turned inside out. And I was at a live event and I just went out and I wrestled Lance Cade on first time Eugene was out, but he had not been on TV. So I just went out as Eugene and went out and wrestled. And by the end of the match, the whole crowd was chanting Eugene. I got beat, but everybody was chanting my name. And I came back through the curtain, Triple H, Stephanie, Arn Anderson, are all standing ovation. said I really committed to the character, and it wasn't something that I planned or thought about. I just went out and did it, and it just kind of came out.
Aye. You know, you've took the gimmick everywhere. You've been Australia. Did you ever wrestle in India?
Yeah, I was in Ring of King. With Mama Holly Vera.
Did you work with Sheena?
I helped start him out when he first started training.
Wow.
That's right. What was that like? The Ring of King, was it TNA owned it or some shit, or what was it?
The network, the TV network in India wanted their own wrestling show because WWE was so popular. So they wanted to get contract with TNA, and Jeff ended up doing it. Jeff Jarrett ended up doing it. So I mean, it was great quality, and it was the first episode had 14 million viewers.
Wow.
SmackDown's barely doing 2 million or something, right? I don't know what their rating are, but it was like a huge number. It just didn't get picked up for a second season.
Right.
I don't know why.
What about what's your current thoughts about wrestling right now? I struggle to watch it. I struggle to watch wrestling.
I watch you know, YouTube matches. I watch the King Jerry Lawler. I don't believe in a lot of things, but I believe in Grado.
if AEW come in with an offer, or did WWE come back, you know, a surprise appearance at the Royal Rumble or anything like that, Nick, would you consider it?
Well, I told him, I said, if you put me in the Royal Rumble, I might have to win it. Put the ball in their court.
But I mean, have you ever had a call from the WWE? Because, I mean, the Eugene character was so well loved in the WWE. I mean, you must have had a call at some point for you to make a comeback at the Rumble or a Raw or something like that, no?
They got so many guys under contract now. You know, it's you know, I don't see them bringing in a lot of outside guys like they used to in the past. Maybe one or two surprises, but...
But Nick, it's all the same shite every year. It's always, damn, or stand back, there's a hurricane. It's always the same surprises these days.
I don't have the pencil.
I mean, the pop you would get, Nick, if you came out as a surprise entrance to the Rumble would be incredible. I honestly think it would blow the roof off if you came down and, you know. But, I mean, that's detriment to the WWE.
Right, tell me, see, before you go, tell me a funny story. Come on, you must have a funny story. Tell me a funny story.
Tell me a funny story.
When did I end up going to what's his name's house for English Mother's Day? We got into London.
Did you go to Shaz? Was it Shaz who she went to?
Mm-mm.
It wasn't Shaz.
The kid that wrestled in Japan that had all those matches with Ricochet. What's his name?
Will Ospreay.
Yeah, it was Will, you know. And it was on Mother's Day, and his mom was making pancakes 8 a.m. in the morning. Because the promoter, like, did he bus us, or was that the flight from Germany?
I think that was it. Might have been the flight from Germany. That was the one that was a good night, that, by the way. I think it could have been the Germany flight.
I think so, yeah.
Aye.
Because were you on that bus trip at 4 a.m. with me?
No, I don't know. I think maybe Sha was there. I think Sha was there.
It was Sha, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the promoter put us on a bus at 4 a.m., the big double-decker bus. It smelled like bologna and body odor.
Aye. Absurd. So it was.
I'm going to ask, what's your best Vince story? Obviously, worked with him in the ring, Nick. I mean, what's your best Vince? I mean, how did you go through that match with Vince? I mean, did it happen in Guerrilla, or did you just call it in the ring?
Yeah, I just said, Vince, I'll call it in the ring. Just hang on. remember when he had his knee surgery? He tore his knee at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah,
yeah. So I had a knee surgery. I had the knee injury before that at the New Year's Revolution pay per view. So I went to Birmingham. I had the surgery. I was doing therapy down there. He injures his knee and he comes down and has surgery. I knew where the hospital was, so I just went in and asked for his room, and they gave me his room number. I walked up to his room, and he was sitting there on in the, you know, bed. His legs are all bandaged up, and he was definitely like looked like a little uneasy. He had like a head and shaved in a couple of days, and I just said, "Hey, I'm in town." I knew he had somebody in town that would go run his errands or whatever. I said, "I'm in town. If you need anything, just have somebody let me know." I should have sat a chair next to him and just talked his ear off until he made me leave. Is what I should have done. That's what Grado would have done.
Definitely.
Oh, aye, man, you've got to cash. You got to cash in with that sort of stuff.
Missed opportunity. Well, Nick, listen, thank you so much for coming on Wrestling Daft. We really, really appreciate it. Love to have you back on again.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
Nick, we need to get you back in the UK for a show.
Tell them we need to book the return of the four fanny packs on four poles match.
Let's make it happen.
We need to make this happen. Wrestling Daft Live. Let's do it.
Exactly. The match that made Vince Russo cry. I mean, what a villain that has to be.
Well, I mean, it was such a compliment because he was like, you know, the guys don't get it like you guys do. You guys were out there, you know, you built it, you had fun, you made it make sense, and it was comedy. So it was a pretty cool.
It was a proud day in my life, Nick.
That's right.
Nick Dinsmore, a.k.a. Eugene.
Thanks very much,
thank you so much for coming on Wrestling Daft.
All right, guys, thank you.
I love you, Ben. Just text me there. Bye-bye. It was good, wasn't it?
There you go. Nick Dinsmore on Wrestling Daft. What a surprise guest, Credo. I can't believe you pulled that bag out of the bag. And I can't believe Rab, yet again, has missed out on the big guest.
Well, let's shoot for a hit. Let's shoot for a hit here.
Yeah,
I was never ever comfortable about interviewing Nick, was he?
He wasn't. He's not a fan of Nick. But what a guy! What an incredible.
No, I just in case any Nick listens back. I don't think it was. I don't know. There was some. I don't know. Rob never liked the gimmick. He never liked the gimmick. I remember What Culture in Orlando. I should have brought this up when he was on the. On the show, but I remember What Culture in Orlando. I think he was booked possibly to wrestle me or Joey Ryan at the time. I think the What Culture owner took offense to the gimmick.
Really?
Basically unbooked him. We no long until to the show. So he's not been with his critics with regards to the gimmick, John. You know what I mean?
No, I mean, I didn't realize. I thought that was a gimmick that was forced upon him because
a lot of people did. No, but you see, the thing is, and then a lot of people ask him, go, but then did you regret it? But you know, it's you just never know what would happen. Because at the time, I remember everybody spoke about him being the next Benoit. And it was Lesnar was the next Goldberg. That was the chat at the time.
Yeah. No, you're right, and I mean. He's so good in the ring. When you see it, you look back at Eugene's match, he's so good and he's so. I mean, what did you like wrestling against him? How did you find him in the ring?
So, but you find this right because obviously, I wasn't known for my technical stuff. However, guys like that can make you look good.
Yeah.
And it's just wee bits and bobs and how to react to stuff and how to revert. Just wee bits and bobs that might not seem a lot, but can make somebody like me look 10 times better than what I was.
Yeah.
You always get that. Because it's funny because you wrestle guys that are, you know, he was the first ever ex-WWE guy that ever done an angle with in 2012. And you have this, oh my God, like, the guys are the best to wrestle because it's the easiest. And they know how to gauge a reaction for a crowd. They know not to do too much. They know it's just right, and so you learn so much.
Yeah, but that's
you always learn for guys like that. Compared to, like, say, working the Indy Darling that's trying to get his shit in, which is fair enough. That's the
point,
isn't it? But when you've got somebody like that, it's right up my street.
I
couldn't sleep days before I was wrestling somebody like that. You know what I mean?
I know you, Grado. I can imagine that. And he's obviously a complete pro. It'd be great to see him. Like I said to him, like, imagine him coming at the Rumble, the pop he would get. It would be incredible. It would really, like you say, because they go back to the well so many times, a Hurricane, Ron Simmons, all that sort of stuff. Bringing out Eugene would be incredible. So, fingers crossed.
Is anybody in the live Patreon
want to
say anything about Eugene? Will we maybe do that?
That's a good point. Actually, see, listen, if anyone's in the... We're doing the podcast live tonight, recording live.
World, to see he's in the show tonight.
Raise your hand in the chat. Here we go, Chris Jack, our friend from Northern Ireland. Let's hear from Chris, who wants to say
oh,
something. Oh, he's got his baby with him as well. Look at that.
He's doing tell us.
Chris, what have you got to say about Eugene?
It was good seeing him on there. Good getting a bit of chat from him for one of your Yank pals, Gredo.
Yank pals, all of it.
But no, it was class really getting the insight. Like, I think from my point of view, over here in Northern Ireland, it's very much been the comedy side of stuff that I've been doing and the shows that I've been doing with Titanic. And just what he was saying about, you know, embracing the character and kind of like going full force into it and stuff. It's good to see. It's good to see that he had that idea for his character. He believed in it and you know, he made the success of it.
But you're right, mate, because it was a risk for him.
Aye.
You know what I mean? And it was doing something that nobody expected him. It's like, how many times do you see now where the WWE hire somebody or at least somebody on the roster and they get a gimmick and you go, what are they doing giving them that? It's like, what was it, Bearcat a couple of months ago with Keith Lee and stuff like that? It happens so often, but it's good to hear that he actually, you know, come up with it with idea himself. Listen, I need to ask you about your baby there. You know, 6 months ago, I wouldn't have possibly sold the baby, but who is that, man?
This is Seth. He is 10 days old.
Oh my God, Chris! What the hell?
I'm not joking, right? He's gorgeous, mate. He's gorgeous.
He's a wee stunner. Takes a piece, mum.
Oh, my God. So 10 days old, mate, Seth, and is that I take it that's Seth for Emmerdale?
Aye, that's what everybody's saying.
Please don't tell me, Chris, you've named him after Seth Rollins and you've sold that.
It was a culmination of Seth Logan. Rollins in there as well.
But you had in your mind Seth Rollins. You had Seth Rollins in your mind, didn't you?
You know what it was? It could have been Finn. My missus is a big mark for Fergal. But being in Northern Ireland, Fergal would maybe an appropriate name. Finn was in consideration as well, but we stumped for Seth Callum.
You know,
he's Seth Callum Ferguson. His full name.
It's funny because, John, if I told you, because when Stephanie got pregnant, I was like, well, it's got to be a wee boy. And I came up with the names Brock or Austin. But and thinking that she would go, absolutely not. But she was like, I fucking love one of the two names. But of course, the more I thought about it, I thought, there's no way I can have a Wayne called Brock.
Austin Steve Wayne.
She was like, it's got nothing to do with wrestling. She's like, I just love the name Brock or Austin. So I was kind of glad that Penny was born and, you know, I named her.
I was a wee girl.
Named her after my favourite radical.
Chris, thanks very much for joining the pod. Thanks,
pal. Lads.
Brilliant. Listen, Greg, we were talking last week, remember a couple of weeks ago, because we were off last week, we were talking about, have you ever used wrestling conversation in like normal life, right? We've had a big response on this, right? I'm going to go through some of the stuff. Toby says, I once asked the promoter of a rock show, Toby, who's in the rock band, he's been on the show before, I once asked the promoter of a rock show I was performing at, what's the card for tonight? He played it off as not hearing me, and I said, what's the running order? Kev says, I use the words noggin and breadbasket for head and stomach, respectively, as used by Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby the Brain Heenan. Also, Jeff Jarrett's Don't Piss Me Off more times than I can remember.
Do you know, see, I'm just going to button, right, because it's funny, because, you know, David Edgar for...
Yeah, Heart and Hand.
Well, you know, he's a big, big wrestling fan.
Is he really? We should get him on.
And he was talking about, like, because I was going, because your knowledge of wrestling's pretty, because he interviewed me before, and it was funny because he was talking this week, the big talk, sorry guys, we're kind of off on a tangent, we're talking about, but it is wrestling related, about the whole... the old firm is Rangers getting paid more, the Celtic getting paid more for this Sydney Cup. Of course, he was taught, he says, well, he found out it was all about favoured nations. Favoured nations was a thing that Kevin Nash spoke about years and years and years ago when he went to WCW. So he was like, I knew exactly what nations was duty when Kevin Nash spoke about when he wanted to do it and about how much they get paid, and if anybody else got paid more, they would get, automatically would get, you know what I mean? They
had
Messi, the Ronaldo contract that they have, you know, that they've got a contract where they need to be the highest paid guys.
They're on Hogan money.
By the way, just, you know, the things that you remember through wrestling.
If David Edgar says, by the way, that Aaron Ramsey, he's on Hogan money, that fucking pop. Matt Black says, I've got my non-wrestling watching pals to say pop instead of laugh.
Aye.
Some are even now saying pop the boys in the truck based on me using it because Austin was always saying that on his podcast, even though they don't know what it means. So that's brilliant. I love that.
Bob does that.
He popped the boys. Does Steven do that?
Bob talks about pops. What a pop it will get. What a pop. What a pop.
I love the fact that Stephen Purden is backstage at River City and saying, oh, pop Roisin today. I tell you what, pop Roisin. Brian says, every time someone sends out the leaving email, like, you know, when that goes on, that I'm leaving the company, Brian always replies with wishing them well in all their future endeavours. Belter. Ryan, constantly defend to everyone as marks, like Scott Hall and Kevin Nash style. Marketor says, after breaking up with exes, when pals ask where so-and-so is gone to, I just reply, she's at the barber shop. I love that. I'm going to use that. Erna says, once said a union rep was going into business for himself.
I love that.
I'm going into business for myself. Amazing. Mick Bash always says, it's a work, bro, if someone is telling fibs in work. WWESPL, brilliant Twitter account, go and check them out. I called another team in a work a bunch of jobbers, but sent it to the chat with the bosses, calling them a bunch of jobbers. A colleague saw the message and started calling them Al Snows. It stuck. This other team. Amazing. Steven says, yeah, I was at the football match the other day and a bad tackle went in. I said, he'll be cashing a receipt in a minute. My mate looked at me and said, what the fuck does that mean?
I love that.
Johnny says, me and my pal use wrestling chat all the time. If someone is being a shite bag, we'll say their arms are too short to box with God. Someone's getting bammed up, we'll say they're worked into a shoot. If they just deck it, trip over something, we say they've taken a bump. The rest of the group don't get it, but I think they're catching on. Non-wrestling business, but was at a gig at the weekend, first one since pre-lockdown. Was winded from some cunt's big elbow in the crowd, and I think I've hurted my chest.
Brilliant.
Emma Louise says, her and her boyfriend always use the heel face or gimmick in our conversations. Now, this is a big thing with wrestlers, Grado, and I didn't know this until we interviewed Lanny Poffo and yourself. You always refer to things that you don't know as gimmicks. I didn't realise it. The gimmick.
Aye. I mean, that's more or less, I mean, Stephanie knows what I'm talking about. If I go, what's the gimmick? See, if I'm sitting watching the telly, and I kind of turn in the moment, what's the gimmick for the volume?
What other things do you refer to as gimmicks around your house?
Everything. It's like one of our neighbours, she's quite loud.
And, right.
One of these ones, you know, if you get caught way on the street, you're away for ages. I always go, she's a fucking gimmick, man. She's just a gimmick.
I love that. As opposed to a heel, the heel neighbour. That neighbour's a heel, I tell you. Just, Emily also goes on to say, also lost counts of the times we reference Rab or Grado saying, hello, granny, that's crud, or Graham, I knew a man, a man called Graham. And if you want to get in touch with any of that, on Twitter at Wrestling Daft, on Insta, Wrestling Daft Podcast, Wrestling Daft on Facebook, or email us wrestlingdaft@gmail.com.
Woo! This week, Wrestling Daft is sponsored by BetterHelp Online Therapy. Now, relationships take work. A lot of us will drop anything to go and help somebody that we care about. We'll go out our way to treat other people well. But how often do we take a bit of time out, stop and think, am I giving myself enough treatment? It's like me, for 2014, everybody knows I have had an allergen defect to gluten, rye, barley, wheat. And it was affecting me, John, because it's actually quite, I know I go on about it and people are fed up in me a ring, right? But it does, it go to the point a couple of weeks ago where when I thought, I can't do this anymore, and it was affecting my mental health, and it really, really was, because I would get to the radio station and I'd be just turning up just before I met to do the first link, and the, all I can think about is going to the toilet. And it made me paranoid. And I thought to myself, I need to actually stop, put myself in these scenarios. I need to deal with it. And I want to better myself. So I'm getting myself sorted, be eating clean, eating healthy, and I'm taking a wee bit of time. But it's not just as easy as what it is for me as it is for other folk. That's why we have BetterHelp. Now, let me tell you about BetterHelp. BetterHelp Online Therapy wants to remind you to take care of your most important relationship, and that is between you and yourself. The same person, no different people. It could be hitting the gym, making time for a haircut, even trying therapy. You are your greatest asset, so invest the time and effort into yourself like you do for other people. It's good to help people, but BetterHelp Online, it's a therapy that offers video, phone, and it even gives you a wee live chat session with your therapist. You don't have to see anybody in camera. We are doing a live Patreon right now. We're sitting here. We don't have the cameras on. This is an opportunity to get involved with something like this. It's much affordable than in-person therapy, and you can be matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. So it's expedited. Give it a wee try. There's over 2 million people have used BetterHelp Online. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and listeners get 10% after first month at betterhelp.com/wrestlingdaft. Get yourself on it right now. Speak. It's good to talk, as Bob Monkhouse used to say on the BT adverts.
betterhelp.com/wrestlingdaft.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
So every week on Wrestling Daft, we separate the diesel prices from the petrol prices as we bury and put over stuff from the world of wrestling.
I've got to bury you.
What? Why are you burying me? I'm not even asked you. You're burying me straight away. What are you burying me for?
I was listening to some of your work on your radio show.
Oh, were you? Oh, thank you very much.
And I get the point you were trying to say where the cheapest petrol prices and diesel prices were.
Yes.
But I thought, but it's fucking dear everywhere.
Credo. We the thing is, at the moment, we're looking for the cheap petrol prices, aren't we? We found that there was a place in Asda Linwood have £1.50 for a litre of petrol.
I retract my comment. That was good, actually. That was good that you done that.
Thank you. We're just informing the people. So you're burying me, right? Is that what you're doing here?
Any opportunity.
You've been watching the wrestling this week, and I think you've got a couple of buddies or put over.
So I must admit, I it's hard to watch wrestling this way, right? I love it a bit, but I'm not getting any wrestling watched at all. I managed to buy the AEW show the morning after, and I watched the Kingston and Jericho match first, which I believe is one of the best Jericho matches I've saw in a long time.
Really?
Because do you know what I loved about it? I could tell that Jericho wanted to do that style. He wanted to something a bit different for him, and I think he loved it. Don't get me wrong, I don't think he liked getting dropped in his head in the first move of the match. I don't think he enjoyed that. However, I loved it. I love watching Kingston work because he's just dead raw, and he's just a guy. mega behind anybody that's got a bit of a belly. See, when his belly came out, I was all over it. The second match was the box and stuff like that. I'm sorry, I just struggle to watch matches.
Really? Like that was amazing. That tag match was incredible.
I can't get into it, Chips. And then I had to fast forward because I don't know about guys that are on the stream just now, right? But see Ring of Honor when I was a teenager growing up, I used to get the tapes sent and I loved watching Ring of Honor, CZW, whatever. And for Punk to come out to that music, and I see a lot of people didn't understand why he used it. But Mike Johnson for PW Insider, I've got my Facebook, he says he was close to tears. And I was the same, because it took me back to when I was 14, 15 year old, when I loved Punk and I loved Homicide, and I would buy basketball shots to make myself look like CM Punk. Don't get me wrong, I was like, fuck, I'm getting old. I was like, because I was reading folk on Twitter that didn't really understand the reason why he done it. But for him to use that music, that AFI song, was,
yeah, was cool. Just
brilliant.
Yeah.
And then I turned it off.
After you saw the CM Punk entrance, that was you done. I mean, I think we've got a lot of responses to the Revolution on the on the comments this week. But as we're doing it live, we are going to go to all our punters that are listening to us on Patreon. If you want to get signed up, patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. And we're going to have live buddies and put overs. Let's first of all go to our friend Bronze Cello, aka Paul. Bronze Cello, what's your buddy and put over for this week?
A lot of put overs this week, actually. I enjoyed the AEW pay-per-view. MJF Punk was definitely the match of the night. The ICW show that John and all them put on last week for Cash for Kids. Met Rico last week, who's in the chat at the minute as well. Big Alex, speaking to Roshi down there as well. It's now been uploaded on the ICW YouTube, so if you haven't seen it, go out and watch it. You'll get to see John battering the Lord Province. It's a very entertaining match.
Grado's raging at this because I'm getting my pull over as a wrestler now.
sad state of affairs.
It is a sad state of affairs, isn't it? Let's go to the comments. Job's fucked. Kev saying put over Eric Redbeard was brilliant on the six-man tag on AEW Revolution buy-in, put over Randy Orton's insane RKO on Chad Gable on Raw, and the whole match was superb. You know, that was actually a really, really good match. Let's go to Dean, who's got your live buddy or put over. Dean Watterson, how you doing, Dean?
How's it going, guys?
How you doing, Dean? Where are you residing for the day? Who's your mate?
This is Scott. We're at Deirdre.
You're in two country. That's where.
Wrestling daft hoodie as well. Get in.
Out your tongue.
I would probably the AEW pay per view was good, but I felt it went on too long. To be honest with you, I think it finished about 5 in the morning or something. And obviously over here, it's a bit of a stretch at that time. Do you know what I mean? But apart from that, it was good. Yes,
100%. I'm 3 matches. The raffle. Another 3 matches. Another 3 matches. Hame bath bed.
Aye.
That on 8 shite can't be doing with. See that 8, 9, 10 matches and yep. By the way, did you see Rigo apologising on Twitter about Gunnery's time?
I did see that.
By the way, do you know what?
That's professional though. That's professional.
You know what? That you've no idea how much that goes on, and it is such a pain in the ass to deal with. So folk gone into business for themselves, ignoring time calls for the referee and stuff like that. There's nothing worse, because if everybody goes 30 seconds over, then, you know, it's a long night. Look what happened to me at the Hydro Wells. No, I get told I had 4 minutes for the main event. John Gaburic, big, says you've got 4 minutes. Luckily, we managed to, I went into business for myself and we kept going. But it just shows you what the knock-on effect and stuff like that. So that was cool to see that. Strawberry, good to see him strawberry himself off and
strawberry himself off. thank you very much, Dean, for your buddy to put over.
Hey, Dean, you'll have a good night with you, Dean. He's up watching South Park and Father Ted and all that.
We're playing the new WWE game.
Is that out today?
I was at the day, man. I'm playing GM mode.
love that.
Cheers. You enjoy the Comic-Con, Credo.
Oh, cheers, Dean. And cheers, was it Steve or John?
Scott.
What? For the Cash for Kids.
What's that?
Well done to John's show for the Cash for Kids.
Thank you very much, Scott. Appreciate that, pal.
Cheers.
Brilliant. Right, let's move on to some of the other comics coming on. Kieran says CM Punk versus MJF for sure is putting over this week. Perfect end to generally one of the best storylines of all time. Wow. Punk coming out of his old Ring of Honor team was cool as fuck, and Wardlow finally turning on MJF. The guy is going to be an absolute star. By the way, can we just put over Wardlow? Does anyone really expect him to be that good in the mic? Gradle, I don't know if you've seen this or not.
John, I said to you right from the start, he was my guy. Do you not remember he wrestled Jake and everybody buried it? And I said, I like this guy.
Yeah, you did. You did say that. But he's now got mic skills as well. This boy is, I mean, this is Vince McMahon's wet dream.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Was there no whispers that the WWE want him?
I don't, you would think they would want him. He took the mic there on Dynamite and he was incredible on it. So, aye. Let's go to our former Mark Rico, who's on the live stream just now. Rico. Give me your buddy and put over from this week.
I'll put over this week William Regal's promo from Dynamite. Even though he did go over his time and he had to apologise for it, it's just brilliant hearing him talk so candidly to Tony Schiavone and putting over both John Moxley and Bryan Danielson in the ring. Just quality to see. And I'd managed to avoid spoilers, but like one of the worst kept secrets with Jeff Hardy coming back to Dynamite, hearing the music, I knew, like I figured he was going to be coming on the show, but the music, it was like totally surreal listening to that. Like that was like an old WWF, WWE theme tune on AEW. It was magic, absolute magic to hear and to see.
Do you know what? But it was great to hear, but I was never ever surprised because who remembers maybe watching Six Etra or something else like that kind of, on Bravo? You'd be sitting watching Bravo and somebody would have their chebs out and Crash Holly's theme music would be playing in the back. And the Hardy Boys is the same, so it's stock music. So I reckon Tony Khan has just bought the rights to whoever. Because it's, you know that, John, I take it you know what Ken this season off.
No, I didn't realise the Hardy Boys was stock music, like library music.
I can't think who else is, the Crash Hollies is stock music. Is there anyone else that we can think of that's, actually I think maybe the Dudley Boys' first one as well is maybe library music as well. But it was a good buzz to hear, wasn't it? Things like that make wrestling, that's just that's what makes all us fucking weirdos. Get a buzz off something like that, but it's amazing, isn't it? It's the best thing. It's amazing. I never hide the fact that I got a buzz off that. We should all be proud that we're all.
No,
just appreciating something so easy as an instrumental.
I tell you the reverse of that as well. See if Cody, if he appears in WWE and he comes out to his AEW theme. I think that'll pop. Or if, say, Jericho goes back to the WWE and comes out to Judas.
It's funny the things that you think about, but I reckon maybe a good shout if Cody goes back, because I'm sure he, when he left WWE, he spoke, who is the band again? They done Dolph Ziggler's theme, and what do you call him again?
Oh,
Ross Jello, no, come on, does he know?
It's Downstate.
Downstate. I reckon, I don't know if it's, but what's happening with the Cody deal?
Oh, we don't. It's still like I saw. Braun Chell sent a screenshot today. Braun Chell, give us the lowdown on Cody at the moment.
Come on.
So I seen a tweet earlier in the week, and basically, I think at the minute it's just the dirt sheets just going for it. I think that they're just working us all. To be honest, plans change, pal. That's just the way that it's going. I think.
You think he's going to end up back in AEW?
Everybody's saying he's going to do the Ring of Honor thing, so we'll wait and see.
Right, I tell you what, boys, what I need you to discuss that I wanted to bury. was the fact that if Steve Austin is going to come back at WrestleMania, no way did they completely spunk the load in a fucking Facebook video. Does everyone know, like, that's just... I mean, I see it's 2022, it's the Meta Universe and all that stuff, but was every kind of... I mean, it was an amazing promo.
But, did Jay Arno say that he didn't think Stone Cold could be arsed? No enthusiasm whatsoever.
You think he phoned it in? You think he was just like, gotta get this done?
Pretty much, right.
He just pulled up her Motorola Razor and you might have a point here. Who said that?
Me, GH, Greg.
GH. How you doing, GH? What way would you have done it? Would you have waited till maybe this week's Raw and...
I don't know, I think I would maybe just waited and just let it happen the rest of the year, because you would just constantly be thinking, is it going to happen or no?
And then you feel
like
at
the point you're there and you're like, it's not happening, and then the music hits, shattered the glass.
Every week we end up, me and Rabbi end up talking about something that Andrew Dice Clay on Twitter says, but I'm sure he said a couple of weeks ago, I can't believe Austin has, all the opportunities he's had over the years, To come back, you know, when Punk was calling him out and stuff like that. It's such a bizarre time.
But it's Texas, isn't it? It's in Texas.
I know that, John, but it just feels like I feel as if I'm not, I don't, look, put it this way, right? Look at us, we're doing a wrestling podcast. We've been doing it for an hour and a half. We have not once mentioned Steve Austin has come back to WrestleMania.
That's true. That is true.
It's like, this should be, if this was 5 years ago, we would have come on and went, this is Wrestling Daft. Can you believe it? Steve Austin's coming back. And we'll know.
Yeah. Maybe the thought.
Is he going to be wearing trackies and all that?
He's going to be wearing trackies.
Do you know what I mean?
He's not wearing trackies.
Please, come on. We're wrestling fans here. Please, he's kind of lying, saying you have no thought. What is he going to look like when he comes out? Is he going to be in his... Is he going to be in his Y bobs, or is he going to be in his jean shorts?
Jean shorts, I think.
Yeah, it'll be in the jorts, man.
But then that to me, that's no Steve Austin wrestling.
Yeah. I think it's maybe been part of the Kevin Owens deal. Like the big move that they made to keep Kevin Owens. Do you think that's been part of it? It's like, I'll say if you give me Austin at Mania.
Could have been.
Right, Chris, you're on. What's your brilliant put over?
Again, just going back to Revolution for my put over. Probably the match that I think most people were least excited about, the AHFO against Sting, Darby, and Sammy Guevara. It was unreal. Just absolute like spot after spot. And then you get Sting doing his best Jeff Hardy impression, jumping off that balcony through the tables.
That was amazing. That was
absolutely unreal. 62-year-old and doing that. Amazing. And the Darby Allin's mad suicide dive into the guy inside the bin. It's on the old, like, there's not much in wrestling that pops my missus, but even she was like, holy fuck, what just happened there? So I'd say that would be amongst my people. But Revolution as a whole was probably one of my favourite pay-per-views of the last 10 years. Like, just phenomenal.
Grado had switched off by this point because CM Punk had been out already.
Fast forwarded to that. So what was the main event? Was it the Punk and MJF match?
No, it was Hangman and Adam Cole.
How was that?
I was all right. It was a good title match, but it probably wasn't as bombastic as a lot of other matches on the card, but it still had its moments. It was a good solid title match.
Right. Hey Craig, come on. I want you to talk.
Hello.
were you saying to?
It was a good pay-per-view. I agree about the main event though, and I think that's what's the problem with these pay-per-views going so long is that like you get to the main event and it's just like everybody's kind of be fucked anyway, and unless it's like a really like big match that. Mm-hmm. That like being built up properly, and that you could tell that main event was going to be a bit of a like title wasn't going to change hands. It's just kind of like a sort of fill-in feud in a way. So like it's just you get to the main event, you're just like, oh, can't be arsed anymore. So it kind of falls a bit flat.
You're right. You're right. Johnny,
when
you go, Rico?
Just saying the crowd must have been absolutely knackered by that point as well, because there were so many points in the pay-per-view where there were like really big highs that hit from each matches, and I don't know, I reckon they were just tired by the end of it and maybe kind of let it down.
Aye.
Yeah. Definitely. Let's finish this buddy or put over with
it. Johnny, what's he eating, or is he going to live to regret it? Johnny, what's he eating?
I'd eat trips, something.
Right, Johnny, buddy or put over?
Long time listener, first time caller. I don't really watch wrestling anymore.
Speak to you, please.
I don't really watch wrestling anymore. I just like this podcast, it's quite a good laugh. I did watch the Cast for Kids match today when it's put up on YouTube, though. So I'll put over it. Toll and Simon Cassidy on commentary, just because it reminded me of John Champion and Al McCoist. Chris Toll just hitting out the... That arm's hitting him like a baseball bat, sung by Sammy Sosa, Chicago Cubs. I actually burst out laughing when I was watching it. And just nobody hitting, just be positive.
Oh, John, that's good. You know what, I always love when folks say they don't like wrestling anymore, but they like listening to podcasts. That always means a lot, I reckon.
Gradle loves that. Johnny. Thank you very much for that.
To be honest with you, I'm not the biggest fan of wrestling
anymore. You probably watch me on me, to be fair. You don't watch any.
I know, that's the same. It's the same as me. I come on, I go, and John will go, what you want to bury? I put over, and I don't have a clue. I feel bad, but I really struggle with some of the stuff now. I mean, I feel bad for it, but when you're really, only things you're getting excited about is few music and stuff like that.
My pal sends me like the big news. He'll like send the tweets and all that, but that's about as much as I keep up with wrestling these days.
Right.
And obviously on the podcast.
Aye, I'm in here. Aye, Henry, keep it up. Good podcast.
Thanks, Johnny. Let's finish off the buddy of put overs for this week. Let's go to Draft Tash, who says, put over just wrestling in general, some good surprises and matches all around. Buddy, all the wee fannies constantly taking digs at WWE because it's cool, the cool thing to do. It's kid on, for fuck's sake. Just enjoy it. And that is it for this week's Wrestling Daft. Thank you very much for our first live Wrestling Daft, Gradle.
You know what? The first thing I'm going to do when I shut this laptop is I'm going to voice note Rab and say, we should do this more often, because it was good fun, man. I really, really enjoyed that tonight. Really, really enjoyed it.
Good fun. Thank you very much to all our Patreons who got involved tonight. If you want to get involved in the Patreon chat, be involved in the next live Wrestling Daft, patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. We'd love to have you on the show. It'd be great to speak to you. If you want to buy a t-shirt, we're going to talk about the list of Wrestling Daft next week, which we missed this week. We're going to talk about the best t-shirts next week, and if you want to buy a Wrestling Daft t-shirt, you can do that as well. Spreadshirt.com/wrestlingdaft. Saw a few of them when I was wrestling in the ring the other week, because you know what, Gradle, I'm a wrestler too now. I'm sad as fuck, by the way. I'm just going to say this, my Twitter profile now, I've got a picture of me with a John McAnally Titantron, where me standing on the middle rope giving it big lick, and I just got a picture through the day with me also now holding a WWE title on top of the top rope, which looks fucking magic. So that's going to be my new profile picture.
Listen, good on you, I'm proud of you. Yeah.
Thanks, mate. Thanks. I lived my dream. Anyway, listen, if you want to get involved with our Patreon, give you the details there, patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. We'll have the list of Wrestling Daft and the watch along back next week. Brilliant running from Nick Dinsmore there. Really, really enjoyed that. Fantastic, Gail. What a surprise guest.
Hey, I need to ask me more than
that. Aye, see if you don't get Jet from Gladiators on the show next week after your Comic Con, I'll be very disappointed.
Listen, for the bullet away, I'm away to start the Eden Book of D, right? So see you after.
Right, that's it for this week's Wrestling Dad. Thanks very much for listening. We'll see you on the next one. Until next time,
take care. All the best. It's yourself that I hear you. Audio Frontier.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.